Well, but you die. How do you bow? How do you check? Can you move the other table to the side over there?
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Veva Hure Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Veva Hure Jana Balava Yivar Khanti Nopi Jana Balava Yivar Khanti Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravritacharya or Stupeta
Sata Shri Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chadanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Ramacharya Srila Vidas Thakur Ki Jai. Friends, say Hoho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopada Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturam Ki Jai Navadeeptam Ki Jai Jagadupasami Ki Jai Yamunamaye Ki Jai Srimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Go Premananda Hare Hare Go. All glories to the Son of the Devotees, all glories to the Son of the Devotees, all glories to the Son of the Devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so we're continuing with our reading of the 7th canto, 5th chapter, texts 23-24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so I'm just going to read the transliteration and then the translation, and then we'll continue in the purport to where we left off. We're going to talk about Smaranam. I'll begin with talking about Smaranam today. So, Shivaradavacha, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishno, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Lasham, Satyam, Atmani, Vedanam, Iti Pum Sharasada, Vishna, Bhakti, Chenna, Vilakshana, Priyeta, Bhagavacha, Kanmanye, Ditam, Uttamam. Okay, so we're going to read the translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming a servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So remember yesterday we went over the Kirtanam, and the day before was Shravanam. So we have 9 processes of devotional service, and these are being explained by Prahlad Maharaj to Hiranyakashipu. So that's a little bit of background here. And each and every one of the processes has a particular acharya, who, like Kirtanam, of course, was Shukadeva Goswami, and Smaranam is Prahlad Maharaj himself, who is the one who is reading or discussing this particular aspect of devotional service. Okay, so we'll continue with the purport. Smaranam. After one regularly performs the process of hearing and chanting, and after the core of one's heart is cleansed, Smaranam, remembering, is recommended. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto, first chapter, text 11, Sukadeva Goswami tells King Pariksit, Itan nirajamananam ichitam makuto vayam yoginam nirpa nirnitam havernan manu kirtanam. O king, for great yogis who have completely renounced all material connections, for those who desire all material enjoyment, and for those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is recommended. According to different relationships, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are varieties of Manu Kirtanam, chanting of the holy name, and thus according to different relationships and mellows, there are five kinds of remembering. This is also very interesting. Of course, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopal Kumar went to Tapaloka, he found that the residents of Tapaloka, the sages, were engaged in the process of Smarana. And actually, they were completely absorbed in Smarana. And he didn't see a deity there. He was very disappointed because in the previous abodes, he either saw a manifestation of Krishna, like in Lord Indra's abode, he saw Vamana Dev, and different abodes, he saw deities. And of course, in the earth planet, he visited different places like Jagannath Puri, and different places he saw and appreciated the deity worship. But here he saw nothing. He just saw a bunch of sages with their eyes closed. And the sages were engaged in the process of smaranam, or remembering the Supreme Personality of God. And the sages actually said to him that smaranam is superior to any other process. And there was a whole discussion in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and it was proven that kirtanam is superior. And because kirtanam automatically includes smaranam, and smaranam doesn't automatically include kirtanam. In other words, when you chant, especially hearing and chanting shravanam kirtanam, then automatically smaranam is there, and then archanam, and then padanam, and vandanam, and all the other processes are automatically there by the process of hearing and chanting. All right. Whereas one just tries to remember, you won't be doing so many other things necessarily. Okay. So there are five kinds of remembering. These are as follows. A, conducting research into the worship of a particular form of the Lord. In other words, one is reading various Vedic literatures to try to understand how to worship Lord Vamanadeva, how to worship Purma, or reading the Narada Pancharatra, which teaches one how to worship the different forms of the Lord in the temple, or studying here in ISKCON, trying to figure out how to worship Radha Gaurav Bihari, how to worship Gaur Natai, Ram Lakshman Hanuman, and all this is part of smaranam. If one is making plans for the deity worship, if one is even buying clothes for the deities, or sewing, that's all smaranam. It's interesting. As I cited this verse the other day, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanavutam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhi. But if one is engaged in Brahma Karma means work for Krishna, that is the same as samadhi. One is fully absorbed in that activity. It's not that one should think that that particular activity is maya. Just like one time a devotee was driving Srila Prabhupada's in his car, and he wasn't paying attention to the driving, he was paying attention, he was trying to chant. But like many devotees, of course, they chant on their beads while they're driving the car, and that's actually, not only is it dangerous, but it's offensive to the holy names of the Lord. You shouldn't do that. We've had many devotees have accidents. So Prabhupada said, no, concentrate on the driving, that is your bhakti. Or concentrate on cleansing the temple. So oftentimes we think that only certain activities are spiritual, but any activity done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even research, as it says here, finding out how to serve the Lord in a particular way, then that is actually bhakti, that is actually smaranam. So number two, that's the first type of smaranam. Number two is concentrating the mind on one subject and withdrawing the mind's activities of thinking, feeling, and willing from all other subjects. Of course, that subject, to be Vishnu smaranam, has to be Krishna, or Vishnu, or Krishna's pastimes, or something pertaining to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you just don't think of anything not connected with the service. So the next type is concentrating upon a particular form of the Lord. This is called meditation, just like when you concentrate on the deity, we just observe how beautiful the deity is,
That's Smarnam and Shantaras, actually, where one is just not serving at that particular point. You're just appreciating how beautiful Krishna is. Of course, we're meant to be engaged, at least in Sevana. Anyway, so then the next one is concentrating, that's D, concentrating one's mind continuously on the form of the Lord. This is called Dhruvanu Smriti, or perfect meditation. So one is to concentrate upon a particular form of the Lord, that the one before it, and one is to concentrate continuously on that form. So there's a difference between the two. And E, awakening, a likening for concentration on a particular form. This is called samadhi or trance. So these are very similar. So Prabhupada explains, mental concentration upon a particular pastime of the Lord in particular circumstances is also called remembrance. Therefore, samadhi trance can be possible in five different ways in terms of one's relationship. Specifically, the trance of devotees in the stage of neutrality is called mental concentration. So, generally, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that is, the Vaishnavas in our particular sampradaya, Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya, they concentrate, or we concentrate, because I'm also a member, we concentrate on the Leela of the Lord, the Namaguna Rupa Leela. That is the name, the qualities, the form, and finally the pastimes of the Lord. And as one advances, then one goes up this particular hierarchy. In the beginning, you just concentrate on the name. You don't artificially impose a remembrance of the Leela. In other words, while you're chanting, Prabhupada said, just hear the sound vibration. And then, after that, you begin to concentrate on the qualities of the Lord, like the Lord being very merciful, the Lord saving the devotees, all these different qualities. And then after that, you become aware of the rupa, or the form of the Lord. You begin to, when you're chanting, you think of the form, you may look at a picture of the deity as you're chanting. And then finally, the highest stage is called Leela. While you're chanting, automatically Krishna's Leela becomes manifest to you, especially as we mentioned yesterday, Ashta Kaliya Leela, the eightfold pastimes. So the advanced devotees, pure devotees, and those on the platform of Raghunuga, which comes above the Vaidhi platform, they're concentrating on what Krishna is doing at different times of the day. And we mentioned this yesterday. That at this particular time, actually the time we mentioned yesterday was the time when Krishna was waking up and hurrying to get back home so he wouldn't be discovered that he was missing, and he and Radharani went back to their respective homes. But this particular time is when Mother Yashoda is waking Krishna up, and she's very much amazed that Krishna's not getting up very easily, because he was up the whole night, he's completely exhausted. Of course, Krishna has a spiritual body, so there's no question of exhaustion like we experience, but this is his pastime. So Mother Yashoda has a hard time waking him up, and then she sees all these different bruises on his body and dirt on his body, and she's thinking he didn't take a good bath the night before. But actually those bruises and dirt and everything like that, the marks on his body, were caused by his conjugal loving affairs with Srimati Radharani and the other gopis. But she doesn't know that. And she also sees Krishna's, Radharani's sari on Krishna. In other words, Krishna is dressed at this particular point in blue rather than yellow, his normal color, and Krishna has to make an excuse that this is actually Balaram's dhoti put on by accident, but it's Radharani's sari. So it's called Leela Smarna. And the advanced pure devotees, that's what they're doing. Not simply the not only the Namaguna Rupa, but actually the Leela of the Supreme Personality of God. And then, even a higher stages, they enter into that Leela. And Raghunuga Bhakti, you begin to recognize who you are in the spiritual world. And you have a particular attraction for serving a particular individual. That's how it first arises. Not that you look at yourself and you see yourself wearing a sari or something like that, but you basically you feel very attracted to serving a particular nitya parsha, eternal resident of the spiritual world. And that's called a rigatmika bhakti. It's not that we engage in rigatmika bhakti. We engage in raganuga bhakti, and we meditate upon a particular resident, and we not only meditate, but we serve that particular resident in her service or his service, or Shri Radha Krishna, the Coward Boys, Lord Balaram, or what have you. Or if you're a devotee of Ram, you may be meditating on Hanuman or Lakshman or Bharata or Shatrughna, or even Kausalya, Kaikeyi, if you're lucky, Kaikeyi, Kaikeyi, Sumitra, or Sumantra. You know, you have all these different personalities. So you really, as you advance, you become attracted to a particular one. And then you render service in your mind to that particular one. That's Raghunatha Bhakti. And then, eventually, rendering service to that particular individual in meditation, you enter into the pastimes, and then your entry into the pastimes is so real that, for example, you have in the case of personalities like Srinivasacharya, that he would enter into the pastimes and then bring things back from the pastimes. You know, you bring a garland back, or that's pretty exciting, isn't it? When you do some meditation, and then you wake up and there's a garland from the spiritual world, or you have a scent of Krishna is on you. And another time, Srinivasacharya was meditating, and for 2 or 3 days he didn't come out of his meditation on the Leela of the Lord. And what happened is the devotees got very worried. They thought he was going to die because he didn't drink or do any physical activity during that time, hardly breathing. So they called for his disciple, Ramchandra Kaviraj, who came there, and he sat down next to his guru and basically entered into the same pastime as his spiritual master. And together they were searching for the toe ring of Srimati Radharani, who was lost in the Jamuna. And they found it and gave it back to Radharani's associates, and they both came out of the trance simultaneously. So that's how real it is, not some imagination. Like right now, we try to imagine Radha and Krishna's pastimes, then that's not really real for us. It's actually, that's a sort of sahaja thing if we're not ready to do that. Therefore, you find in these books of the Goswamis, let's take the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, for example, where Sanatana Goswami is presenting this amazing story about Gopakumar, and also the story about Narada Muni. Narada Muni is looking for the best devotee of the Lord, and Gopakumar is looking for the place where he fits in, which ultimately is Goloka Vrindavan. So some devotees question, they say, well, is this story fictional? Well, I'll tell you what, when Sanatana Goswami meditates on, writes about these pastimes, those pastimes take place. It's no longer fictional. When a devotee actually pictures the pastime of the Lord and the pure devotee, it actually takes place by his meditation. Because it's not subject to the material limitations. Just by the meditation, Krishna's pastimes appear to a devotee. Whereas many times we think of things, meditate on things, it's not real. I mean, for example, many people have come and they dream of their spiritual master telling them something in a dream, and it's basically not the guru. I mean, they say to their spiritual master, I had a dream last night, Gurudev, you told me this, and the guru said, I don't remember that dream, I didn't do that. I mean, for example, there's one interesting case of Duki Krishnadas, who later on became Shyamananda. And so he became Shyamananda because he got the mark of Radharani's like anklet on his forehead. He had special tilak. And what happened is that his guru got very upset because he had changed his name. I mean, naturally, any guru would get upset if they come to the disciple and the disciple says, well, I have a different name now. Not only do I have a different name, I have different tilak. You know, there's red tilak with a dot and everything like that. So his guru eventually came to him and said, you know, how did you get this name? Why did you change this name? Because his guru was thinking he took reinitiation from Jiva Goswami. So he said to his guru, in the dream you gave me the name. And the Tilaka, and the guru said, no, no, I never did such a thing. Of course, this was an excuse. It's not that he was trying to lie to his spiritual master, but he was prohibited from telling his guru how he got the Tilaka. He was prohibited by Jiva Goswami and also Srimati Radharani and Lalita Devi. So, anyway, so that's how the devotees meditate on the Lord's pastimes. And that's exciting because that's in store for us later on in life. And we can actually just meditate on the Lord's pastimes and therefore become completely detached from the material world. Because real detachment only arises when one's fully identified with one's spiritual body. As long as one doesn't have that spiritual identity, there's going to be some attachment in this world to different things. I mean, to family, to associates, to friends, to country. Just like I see in the election that's taking place, like devotees, I ask devotees, who are you voting for? In many cases, they're voting for someone just because of friendship or family attachment. I said, that's stupid. You vote for someone based upon what's best for Krishna consciousness. But because of this, you know, they feel obligation to families and friends. You know, even if Ravana was running, they would vote for him because he happens to be their cousin brother or something like that. Isn't it? I mean, just like so much Boma Ijiti, you know. One thinks, you know, the flat land of his birth is worshipable, and you know, he goes to the Ganges to take a bath and not to hear from the holy people, and it's like a cow and ass, say the Gokura. So I'm shocked at how many devotees are like Gokuras. Yeah. But, you know, anyway, I'm not saying who to vote for because it's not appropriate, but, you know, you got to vote for what's best for Krishna consciousness. Forget about family, friends, relatives, mother, father, sister, brother, cousins, obligations. You vote for what's best. You vote we tell the devotees sometimes ask me, I said, vote your consciousness. Conscience, not consciousness. Conscience, you vote your conscience, that's all. I mean, you can't make decisions in life just based upon our bodily connections. You know. So, just like you have the case of Maharaj Anga, he had a son who was a demon. So instead of thinking, what a nice son, he's a nice demon. His son was Vena. He just said, you know, the hell with this guy, I'm getting out of here. He actually said it's a nice son because he's getting out of this entanglement. So so the point is this whole attachment, we should, as they say in America, there's this saying, do the right thing. Don't be engage in nepotism. So, all right, so a little political announcement. So let's get. From your sponsor, political announcement. So, next process of devotional service is called Padasevanam. Padasevanam, pada means feet, sevanam means to serve. And Prabhupada explains, according to one's taste and strength, hearing, chanting, remembrance may be followed by padasevana. One obtains the perfection. Sorry. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. Being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called padasevana. When one is particularly adherent to the process of padasevana, this process gradually improves the other processes, such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the form or temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, and Mathura, to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges or Yamuna. So, let's see what they're going to Also, oh yeah, I just want to mention that the Acharya for Padasevana is Lakshmi Devi, because she's always situated in the Lord's lotus feet. And her mood is one of awe and reverence. Her servitude is the mood of awe and reverence. And in the story I told the other day about Lord Chaitanya, I told this in Mombasa, Lord Chaitanya's appearance, previous to Lord Chaitanya's appearance, you had Narada Muni who was serving Lakshmi Devi, and Narada Muni wanted some Mahaprasadam from Lord Vishnu. And he went to Lakshmi Devi, served her for something like 10 years, and asked Lakshmi Devi for the Mahaprasadam. She was scared to approach Lord Vishnu. It's described that she was rightly shaking when she went to Lord Vishnu. That's her relationship. It's a mood of awe and reverence. Therefore, Lakshmi Devi, because she has that mood, is not allowed to enter into the Braj pastimes. Because in the Braj pastimes, Krishna doesn't want anyone shaking in awe and reverence. Except for the demons, of course. Krishna wants the devotees just to treat him like their buddy and forget that he's God, whereas Lakshmi is always remembering Krishna is God. So that particular process, Padasevana, really entails the remembrance of Krishna's superlative position as God. That's part and parcel of that. This is also about, so bathing in the Ganges and serving a pure Vaishnava, also known as Tadiya Upasana. This is also Padasevana. Because when you serve the pure devotee, you're bathing in the Ganges, there's always the mood of on reverence. It's not that you go to your guru and say, hi, and you slap him on the back. How you doing, buddy? You know, have you seen Krishna lately? No, it's vananvi sadhanam mate, with great caution in approaching the spiritual master. The word atadiya means in relationship with the Lord. Service to the Vaishnavas, Tulsi, Ganges, and Muna are included in Padasevana. All these processes of Padasevana help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. But remember, all these different processes that are mentioned are done in the mood of awe and reverence. In other words, when you bathe in Yamuna, that's not your swimming pool. Like Prabhupada commented about the devotees who were having fights in the Radha-kund. They were bathing in Radha-kund and then having what they call chicken fights. I don't know if you know what that is. That means one devotee gets up on another devotee's shoulder. You ever seen it? No. Chicken fights means that you have two devotees. One is in the water and the other one's on the shoulders of the person in the water. And then you have another pair doing the same thing. And the guy on top fights the other guy on top, and whoever knocks the person over first wins. So they're doing that in Radha-kund. And Prabhupada said, you are kicking Radharani. So one has to approach, especially Radha-kund, but even the Jamuna, the Vaishnavas, Tulsi and Ganges, with great awe and reverence. It's part and parcel of Padasevana. Okay, and next process is Archanam. After Padasevana comes the process of Archanam, worship of the deity. If one is interested in the process of Archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. In other words, specifically, the Gayatri Mantra is essential for Archanam, because that's Pancharatra Ki Vidhi. There's the Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the chanting of the Lord's holy names, the recitation of the pastimes of the Lord, the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly sound vibration. And there's Pancharatra Ki Vidhi, which is the deity worship, the rules and regulations for deity worship. And also there's Vaidhi, there's the Vedic system, the Vaidic system, it's called Vaidhi, Vaidic, not Vaidhi, but Vaidic Vidhi, which is the system that can only be done by born Brahmins and people who are ritualistic in the Brahminical behavior. But Vasudeva Kijai, Hariba. But the Pancharatra Ki system requires the guru, the guidance of the guru, not just the initiation. And first initiation, of course, is sufficient to go back to Godhead. You don't need to take second initiation to go back to Godhead. Second initiation is for Archana and also for preaching Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada says there are many books for Archana, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for Archana deity worship. Mm. There are two systems of Archana, the Bhagavata system and the Pancharatriki system. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship because in this Kali Yuga, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshiping of the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami states, Shri Vishnu Shavane Parikshita Bhavad Vayasiki Kirtane Pralada Smavane Tadan Pri Vashane Lakshmi Pritu Pujane Akras Swadhi Vandane Kapipatir Dasheta Sakirjuna Asarvasatma Nivedane Palirat Bhut Krishna Tirisham Padam. Parikshit Maharaj attained salvation simply by hearing, and Shukadeva Goswami attained salvation simply by chanting. Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by remembering the Lord. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, attained perfection by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. Prithu Maharaj attained salvation by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Akura attained salvation by offering prayers. Hanuman by rendering service. Arjuna by establishing friendship with the Lord. And Bali Maharaj by offering everything to the service of the Lord. All these great devotees serve the Lord according to the particular process. But every one of them attained salvation and became eligible to return home back to Godhead. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. So just to touch upon what Prabhupada said in the previous paragraph, he says in the Srimad Bhagavatam there's no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship, because in this Kali Yuga, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed. So what that means is that we do engage in deity worship, although it's not essential, and the deity worship and the following of the Pancharatriki system keeps us in the mode of goodness and reminds us that Krishna is a person. If we didn't have deity worship, we wouldn't be able to remember at least as easily that Krishna is a person. I mean, how would we understand what his form looks like? So deity worship doesn't only mean on the altar here, but any picture. Let's say if you have a picture of the Supreme Personality, Godhead. This is a deity. It's interesting. Deity can be on paper. Deity can be in one's mind. The deity can be made of sand, you know, temporary deity. Just like sometimes they were discussing about temporary deity worship or, you know, temporary installation of a deity. There's actually rituals for that. Of course, that generally that's discussed in terms of worshiping Ganesh and Ganesh Chaturdasi. And they don't do it properly, because actually the deity of Ganesh and Ganesh Chaturdasi is supposed to be made of straw and mud, not of plastic and non-biodegradable paints. And it's not supposed to be put for the municipal bulldozer to just, like, destroy. It's supposed to dissolve into the ocean. Anyway, so as far as the deity worship is concerned, it can be from any of these different particular forms, and even in the mind. That's also deity worship. Like that one Brahmin in the Nectar Devotion, who was worshipping the deity form of the Lord, and he was preparing sweet rice, and he was testing the sweet rice to see if it was cool enough, and it was too hot in his particular meditation. He burnt his finger, and he came to external consciousness, and the finger was burnt too. And then the Lord was laughing at him so much, and then the Lord came down and took him back to Godhead. So this is these are different types of meditation on the deity form of the Lord. But we shouldn't forget that this picture of Krishna is just as much Krishna as the deity on the altar. A different function, of course. We don't offer regulated service generally, just to the picture in the book. But Prabhupada did say to one sannyasi who said he wanted deities, Prabhupada said, "You can worship my books." So the book is actually a deity, or any picture. So we have to be very respectful. That's one thing we learned when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, that there was a special
throw away what's called sacred garbage. It was garbage, normal things like your plate after you've eaten, or whatever other, you know, tissues you've used. And then there was a separate garbage just for pictures or spiritual paraphernalia. Prabhupada said even if you drop a picture on the ground or drop the book on the ground, you have to offer obeisances like 100 times because this is a manifestation of Krishna. So this is deity worship right here. Although the complicated rules and regulations for deity worship not really recommended in this Kali Yuga. If you get too complicated, then you sort of, you're keeping the majority of devotees from worshiping the deity. You're actually making it so complicated that basically people can't figure out how to do it, or they don't have the time to do it. And that's been a problem in many of the temples in ISKCON, that they try to do too much of a complicated worship, and then after that they find they have a lack of pujaris, because people just can't deal with all these. I remember the first time they told me I had to count all these circles around it, just count. Then I started counting, and all I did was remembering the counting instead of remembering Krishna. So the whole point is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, and those are the two rules and regulations. So if you're doing deity worship and just going, thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then you're not really engaged in Vishnu Smaranam. Because you're supposed to be thinking in devotion, Krishna please, you know, the real point is Krishna please accept this particular offer. If you're just doing ritualistically, that's Niyamagraha. So deity worship, there's the tendency towards Niyamagraha in deity worship. And I've seen that in many cases, even in our society. Okay. So, let's continue. It is therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra for worshipping the deity in the temple. Especially for household devotees who are opulent of material possessions, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. An opulent household devotee who does not engage his hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called a miser. One should not engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. Prabhupada also said if you pay someone a salary, then they're not doing devotional service. Salary in the temple. They're not doing devotional service. The result of their activity is simply the money they get. It's interesting. If they get a salary. I mean, of course, the devotees can be maintained. We're not saying that devotees should just live under a tree. But this whole idea of doing devotional service for money is really not a good idea. And that's becoming a little bit more prominent in ISKCON now, too. You know, you hire devotees to be a temple president. They make like, in America, you know, they make 20, actually much more. They make, you have to pay them at least 40,000, 50,000 American dollars a year. Can you imagine that? And in one particular country, and I'm not going to mention that country, they actually have a punch clock. You know what a punch clock is? You know, when you go to work, you to put a card in, it goes, and it says, you showed up for work at 8:02 this morning. So it says on your contract, Hare Krishna devotee, that you're supposed to show up at 8. So we're going to dock your pay, you know, a little bit because you've been coming late and you called by the boss. You said, you know, you're fired. So there's one temple, I'm not going to tell you what temple it is, where when a devotee, when it's actually the time for them to quit for the day, they quit. Even if something has to happen, or there's some Vaishnava coming to the temple, or something that says, well, I'm off duty now. You know, Maharaj comes to the temple with his bag and says, can you help me with my bags? No, Maharaj. I'm off duty as of 5 o'clock. Had you come a half hour ago, I would have helped you. It's just like you have a job. Like Nityananda has a job. He's not going to rush in right now and start working. It's the boss's problem if there's a problem in your factory, right? Not your problem. You just work. You have certain hours. So in the same way, devotional service becomes like that. Prabhupada says one should not engage paid brahmins. So ISKCON also means we can have paid brahmins. We're not aloof from that particular phenomena. If one does not personally worship the deity, but engages paid servants instead, he is considered lazy, and his worship of the deity is called artificial. In other words, I'd rather not worship the deities, I'll just pay you to do the RT. And sometimes they pay per RT. You understand? How much you make per RT? $20 an RT. Pretty good. You know, people are lazy. I mean, there's so much laziness in modern society. Instead of growing vegetables, people go to the supermarket. Even if the vegetable is growing on their own property, they're just too lazy to pick it. It just rots on the tree or rots in the vine. So an opulent householder can collect luxurious paraphernalia for deity worship, and consequently for household devotees, the worship of the deity is compulsory. And actually, Prabhupada said the first-class householder worships the deity in the temple. That's what Prabhupada really wanted. Prabhupada did not want so much deity worship done in the home. And in our Krishna conscious movement, there are brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasas, and sannyasis, but deity worship in the temple should be performed especially by the householders. The brahmacharis can go with the sannyasis to preach. Is there any brahmacharis? We're in trouble. No brahmacharis here in Fiji, right? Rishikesh? It's not surrendered enough. And the vanaprasas should prepare themselves for the next status of renounced life, sannyas. Grahastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities, and therefore, if they do not take to deity worship, their falling down is positively assured. That's pretty interesting. We should remember that when engaging members of our congregation. If they don't engage in deity worship, this is Srila Prabhupada's words, their falling down is positively assured. Wow. Why is that? Because the deity, Krishna, is very attractive. And Rupa Goswami says that if you at all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to see Krishna, his plane is blue on the banks of the Keshi. So the point is, Prabhupada said, deity worship is the cure for lust. If you don't engage in deity worship, and particularly, you know, if you're associating with the opposite sex, then you become attracted to that particular phenomenon in this world. I mean, nobody except a pure devotee is aloof from that particular phenomenon, from being attracted. And there's nothing wrong with loving your wife or husband, but if you become attracted to them physically, you know, the physical manifestation of your wife or husband, and you spend all your time looking at her eyes or something like that. Oh, what big eyes you have. What a nice nose you have. Or the wife, what big muscles you have, Prabhu. I love your hair. Yeah, we even have devotees who just like start to grow beards because they want to become attractive, isn't it? Attractive to the opposite sex. They're thinking like that. But what is the hair anyway? The hair is just stool. So Krishna's tricking you. He's saying you grow more stool. And people will be attracted to stool. Anyways. So to actually be properly loving with your wife, you can't be exploiting her just for her, you know, physical beauty. Which is not, doesn't last very long anyway. The gopis say that, they say, you know, Krishna's attracted to us now, but you know, our beauty will be gone, you know. We have a very short-lived beauty. Of course, the gopis didn't, but that was their thought. Deity worship means following rules and regulations precisely. This will keep one steady in devotional service. Generally, householders have children, and then the wives of the householders should be engaged in caring for the children, just as women acting as teachers care for the children in a nursery school. So the ladies should take care of the children, obviously. And anyway. So grahastha devotees must adopt the Archita Vidhi. Prabhupada keeps stressing this point. Or deity worship according to the suitable arrangements and directions given by the spiritual master. Regarding those unable to take to the deity worship in the temple, there's the following statement in the Agni Puran. Any household devotee circumstantially unable to worship the deity must at least see the deity worship. And in this way he may achieve success also. In other words, even if you're not directly engaged in deity worship, before you go to work in the morning or school or whatever you're going to do, you got to think darshan of the deities. In Jaipur, you see this particular phenomenon very, very clearly, that everybody in the city, basically, before they go to work, they come to see Radha Govinda. They take darshan. I've been there in Jaipur many times. And it's very wonderful. They're taking the blessings. I'd be scared. I've seen devotees living right next to the temple who don't see the deity for weeks. I'd be scared. You know, we should have that healthy fear that because that's an offense on deity worship to not offer respects to the deity. So if you're living close enough where you can take darshan or take the blessings of the deity, why not do that? And then your whole day will be successful. But people just don't get that through their little tiny brains. Devotees even living next to the temple. That you should take the blessings every day before you do it. The special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. Grahastha devotees should be actual examples of cleanliness. Deity worship should be continued along with hearing and chanting. Therefore, every mantra is preceded by the word namah. In all the mantras, there are specific potencies, we're going to finish this paragraph, of which the grahastha devotees must take advantage. There are many mantras preceded by the word namah, but if one chants the holy name of the Lord, he receives the results of chanting namah many times. In other words, if you're doing deity worship, if you don't remember the specific mantra, just chant Hare Krishna mantra. And that happens many times. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can reach the platform of love of God. And one might ask, then what is the necessity of being initiated? The answer is that even though the chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nonetheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a material body. Here Prabhupada is talking about second initiation right now. He's not talking about Harinam initiation. Consequently, special stress is given to the Archana Vidhi. One should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavat process and Pancharatriki process. And Pancharatriki process and the Bhagavat process are compared by Srila Prabhupada to two rails in a train. Like you have your little trains here for the sugar industry, there's two rails. So those two rails must be performed. Pancharatriki Vidhi to keep ourselves pure, and Bhagavat Vidhi so we can preach and hear Krishna Katha. So I think we have to end now. Thank you very much. And today is election day, right? So everybody vote your conscience, not your nepotistic consciousness. Hope people understand what I'm saying. Okay, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada.